Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Good morning. As we're driving in this morning, I've been focusing on this message over the last few weeks, and Thanksgiving is the focus that God has given me. We've got the holiday coming up. But as we were driving here, the Lord brought to mind a song that I haven't thought of for a long time. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto the name, O Most High. It is a good thing to be here today, to give our praises and to give our thanks unto God. Will you please finish this statement for me? Just shout out what comes to mind. It takes discipline to... Okay, I didn't hear any of those. I'm sorry. Okay, I heard one over here. To get better. Okay. Mm-hmm. Improve. Okay.
Succeed.
Okay.
Have patience.
Okay. What was that one? Achieve goals, okay, yeah. To learn, okay. Yeah, there's so many things in life that take discipline. Like, say, for instance, an athlete. You don't get out there and run a four-minute mile the first time you get on the track. It takes discipline and practice and time. Playing a musical instrument. It takes discipline and time. Singing, riding a bike. For the little ones, tying your shoe, it takes lots of practice sometimes to tie that shoe. Just the idea of feeding yourself, it takes discipline and practice. Caring for someone else, writing. You know, how many of you have seen some of the quite illegible writing of today? I was a public school teacher. I taught fifth grade. And one of the things I taught was penmanship. Kids, is that taught in school these days? No. You know, that's really sad. It's sad for me because the written language is a major way of communicating. And if we don't have that skill, if we haven't practiced that discipline, we are missing so much. The idea of shaving, say for instance. Now obviously I haven't shaved in a long time. But it takes discipline. It doesn't just happen. How many of you, the first time you shave, now I realize, ladies, this might be your legs and so forth, for men, it's your faces. How many of you had some cuts on your body when you first tried it? Anybody? Now, some are willing to admit it. Okay. But that happens. But they're all disciplines that we have to work through, we have to practice in order to get to where we can do what we want to do, to be accomplished in whatever it is. And these are all things in our physical world. But there are also many spiritual disciplines. Over these past few months, as we've been looking at our individual and our churches, spiritual heart health. All of these things we've been looking at are spiritual disciplines. They're ways in which we can better be who God created us to be. The centrality of the Bible, having a transforming walk with Jesus, sharing our faith with others, community, transformation, global engagement, keeping Jesus the main thing, celebrating Christian community, heartfelt worship. All of these are disciplines that can help us grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Each has various aspects that when put into practice with the many other disciplines, we will find healthy and thriving followers of Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's what we look for, and that's what we wanted to. Now, amongst these disciplines, there are many others that we haven't looked at. And one of those is prayer. Prayer is, in its simplest form, is communication with God. Communication with God. And as we have seen, as we have examined our health, heart health. Okay, you got to spit that out. There are many aspects of each of these disciplines. Just like there's many aspects of prayer. Praise, which is one we do every Sunday when we gather together. Thanksgiving is another aspect of prayer. Confession. Supplication, which is humbly and earnestly asking and seeking. Intercession, which is seeking on behalf of another person. And silence and solitude. All of those are aspects of prayer. But today we're going to look at Thanksgiving, since we once again will be celebrating our national holiday of Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. Before we read our primary scripture text for today, I ask you now to bow with me in prayer to go before the Lord. Holy and loving Father, we bow before you this morning as your children, seeking to honor you in the midst of our worship of you. Forgive us for those times and things that we have allowed into our lives that have been unhealthy for us and for this body of believers gathered here. Thank you for your promise of cleansing for all who confess their sins unto you. And may we each know your cleansing now and have hearts and minds that are open to your Holy Spirit here in our midst today, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can be here with you. May the words of my mouth be your words for us now, and the meditations of each of our hearts draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Today we will be reading two texts from the New Testament, both of those near the end of the Bible. And so I'd ask you to open your Bibles or go to your devices that you may have your Bible app on. And please keep those open as we will be looking at them as well as other scriptures this morning as we look at this idea of the discipline of thanksgiving. Our first text is 1 Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then from Ephesians chapter 5, we read there, in verses 19b and 20. Now you say, what does that mean, 19b? What that means is there's two different sentences in one verse, and we're only looking at the start of the second sentence. Sing and make music with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we truly be blessed in the reading and the hearing of these words of our God. I want to start with a slide this morning. as soon as it pops up. Okay. Did it pop up? Okay. I forget. I don't have a slide back. When the slides pop up, I don't have them back here, so forgive me. Okay, this first slide. This is our son Samuel when he was about 3 years old. This photo depicts his focus, his intrigue, and his captivation concerning our friend's piano, which led to many years of lessons and discipline to become an accomplished keyboardist as he is today. And now I must confess to you that Samuel's disciplines in practicing were not always what LaVon or I thought that they should be. You ever had that experience with your kids? It's not quite what we thought it would be. However, God knew what our son needed and honored this young man's efforts and his disciplines. And with any discipline over time, there are dividends that come, that are reaped, and that not only the person experiencing and practicing the discipline, but others around them reap the blessing of that discipline. LaVon and I are so blessed when we can hear our son playing on the keyboard. It just is glorious music to our ears when we think of who he was when we adopted him. See, Samuel was a special needs child when we adopted him. We honestly had no idea who he might one day become. But our prayer every night was that God would touch him and make him into everything God wanted him to be. And he has been blessed, and he blesses us in what God has done through him. We have reaped a great benefit from his disciplines, but it takes time. And so in this season of Thanksgiving, we're going to look together at the discipline of Thanksgiving and some of its associated dividends that we see over time. The first verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice! Rejoice! As I said, driving in, that song came to mind from many years ago, that wonderful praise song. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto God, to rejoice. And the beautiful thing about this verse, it doesn't say just rejoice once in a while. What does it say? Rejoice always. Always rejoice. Now, lately there's been a lot of rejoicing for Minnesota Vikings fans. Anybody say amen? Yeah. I'm a fan like Josh. And after the game on Sunday, I almost texted you, Josh. I almost texted you. There's been a lot of rejoicing, you know, especially with that game there in Buffalo. I want to tell you something that happened. It was really strange, but then God works in that way sometimes. That week before the game, I was out taking one of my early morning walks, and it was one of those days that was very, very windy. And the day before, we had seen this cardboard Pepsi 12-pack box go blowing across the yard behind our place. And the next morning I walked and there was this blue and red thing laying in the yard. I figured, just a couple yards down, I figured that was what it was. I went over to pick up the garbage and it wasn't garbage at all. It was a blue and red Buffalo Bills garden flag. And I thought to myself, I know we've had a lot of wind, but certainly didn't blow that in from New York. No, I couldn't have done that. Besides that, the wind was in the wrong direction to blow it in from New York. No, obviously, someone in our neighborhood lost their flag. They lost their flag. It blew into us. And we, you know, I've got it sitting at home. Now, you know, when I think about that flag, and then I learned that we were playing the Buffalo Bills that Sunday. And so we, with the winds being so very strong, that it blew so many things in and messed up so many things. And I just assumed that there was a Buffalo Bill fan somewhere who lost it that week and that Sunday as well. Anyway, we had the blessing of going over to our son's house. They have a big projection screen in their basement family room, and we got to watch the game there. Except for the last few minutes of overtime. How many experienced that problem, seeing the last few minutes of overtime? Yeah. For whatever reason, the network decided it wasn't worthy to continue watching, so broadcasting. So anyway, but by God's grace, the Vikings did win. And there was great reason to celebrate. I'll be honest, I haven't been that excited about a game in a long time. It's been a long time. But that rejoicing was not, nor will it always be there. It comes and goes depending upon the circumstances of the season. But this is not the type of rejoicing that Paul is talking about here. This rejoicing that God is telling us here is always to be in our hearts and our minds. It's something that we rejoice about that is not of this world. It is eternal and spiritual. It is rejoicing in God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though this rejoicing is not always spoken with words, it is always to be in our hearts and minds. And God knows each of our hearts and minds. It is a form of communication with God our Father. Thereby, it is a form of prayer. It is a form of prayer, which the next verse, verse 17 says, we are to pray continually. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that you're always walking around with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and your hands folded. That's not what it's saying here. That is a form of prayer. That is a way of praying. But you aren't going to be doing that when you're driving down the interstate. Not a good idea for the driver to pray like that. You can pray, but not in that way. How many of you remember a song sung many years ago by the group called We Five? When I woke up this morning, you were on my mind, and you were on my mind. How many remember that song? Not very many, just a few people. Anyway, I love that song. I love that song. But the question today for you and I is, when we woke up this morning, was Jesus on our mind? What was on our mind? And when we went to bed last night, what was on our mind? And all of the times in between, when we get up and we go to bed, what is on our minds? What do we think about most? We are called to be in prayer continually, to continuously be in communication with God. That means speaking to God and listening for God to speak to us in so many different ways that God may choose. And I want to tell you something that is a guarantee. The more Jesus is on your mind when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, and all the times in between, the more you will be giving thanks unto God. The more thanksgiving you will have pouring through your mind and your soul and out of your mouth. I guarantee it's going to happen. And then in verse 18 in 1 Thessalonians, it says, we are to give thanks. To give thanks. It's not an option, friends. We are to give thanks. Now this next part is the hard part. In all circumstances. In all circumstances, we are to give thanks. So we're called to give thanks not just when it's convenient, when we feel like it, or when things are going well. Being thankful when it is not convenient, a convenient time, is so much more impactful. When we're not in the mood, giving thanks reminds us that life is not about us and our feelings. It is about God, the one who loves us and provides for us. And when things do not seem to be going well for us, and friends, we all have those times and those circumstances in our lives. When things are that way, it is then that we must turn to our loving God and give thanks to Him. Because regardless of the situations of our world, God is, God always has been, and God always will be God. And God knows every circumstance of our lives, friends. We need to remember that and to trust God with thanksgiving, even in the midst of the difficult times. That thanksgiving comes from our hearts. And in Ephesians 5, 19b to 20, switching over to there, we see that. As Paul is writing there, he says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. From your hearts, from deep within you, from your inner being, from all that is within you. Sing and make music unto the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always, always giving thanks to God the Father. And this is the hard part, for everything. For everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to talk about that hard part in a little bit more. But you see, it's not just from our mouths. It's not just from our minds. It comes from the heart. That is why when we gather on a Sunday morning, we have songs of praise to begin to help us enter into the presence of God, to worship God, that our hearts can be right with God as we enter in. It enables us together as the body of Christ to sing and make music unto the Lord. We need to practice the discipline of thanksgiving so that we find ourselves always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. And is it easy? No. Of course it's not. Let me ask you a question. Does an archer hit the bullseye with every arrow shot from the string of her bow? No, they don't. At least not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. But with practice and discipline, the bullseye is hit more frequently. I had shot a few arrows in my young life before the time when we moved to Lakeview, Oregon, when I was entering the seventh grade. Our neighbor in Lakeview was a competitive archer. I'd never heard of such a thing, but I learned about it. And I watched as he practiced from time to time, and I was amazed at how his arrows were all grouped together so tightly. It just amazed me, because I had problems hitting a target with what I tried to shoot. But it was just amazing how tightly they were grouped together in the bullseye of the target. Long hours of practice and discipline enabled him to consistently not only hit the target, but also that bullseye. And that's the way it is with the discipline of Thanksgiving as well. Over time, with practice and discipline, we hit the target more often. And then the bullseye, more and more. And we are able, from our hearts, to give thanks unto the holy, loving God in all circumstances and for everything in our lives. But maybe ask the question, why? Why should we do this? Well, back in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the second half of it tells us, it's because that's what God wants. God wants us. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if we are spiritually in Jesus Christ, if we have invited Him to come into our hearts and minds and be our Lord and Savior, then we are to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks to God in all circumstances, for everything. Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's why we do it. It's what God wants. If we are in Christ Jesus. This way of living and being is not an option or a suggestion from God. It's what He wants. It's His will for each and every one of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ. Not only does God expect this from us, but in God's grace and mercy, He gives us the means by which we can live out His will in this world. He gives us the Holy Spirit. It's given to every follower of Jesus Christ to empower and enable us all to do the will of the Father. He has created us for this purpose. God also has a purpose in creating a little beautiful creature for His pleasure and purpose. That beautiful creature is a monarch butterfly. It's a wonderful creation. A beautiful creation of God. But its life is not an easy one. It is not an easy one. See, God has created stages of life for this beauty to come forth. And every monarch must go through those stages to become who God wants it to be. They start out as a little egg laid on the leaf of a milkweed plant. And that little egg hatches, and that little pupa becomes this caterpillar that eats its way to the point where it spins a beautiful chrysalis. And out of that chrysalis, eventually, Eventually, out of that chrysalis will emerge this beautiful butterfly. Now, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for that butterfly to get out of that chrysalis. But what happens if you or I try to help that butterfly get out of its chrysalis? How many know what happens? What happens? It dies. It dies. You see, it's the struggle. It's the struggle and the fighting and the battle to get out of that chrysalis which enables its wings to strengthen and which enables it to emerge. The beautiful butterfly that it is. Excuse me. It's that struggle that enables it to become what God created it to be. It enables it to make a journey of thousands of miles to migrate down to Mexico. Now, if it didn't have that struggle, it wouldn't have the strength to make the journey that it needs to make. It couldn't be what God created it to be. And that's exactly why we need to thank God for everything. Because even in the hardships and the struggles of our lives, we can each day emerge as more and more of who God has created each of us to be. God uses the hard times and the struggles to discipline us, to shape us and to mold us into His purposes and His will. And no, it's not easy. It's not easy. God knows that. God knows full well. And so in Hebrews 12, 7-11, if you want to follow along, that would be great. There it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their loving Father? God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained in it. As we go through the disciplines, like the athlete training for a marathon, it's not easy. I'm not a marathon runner, so I don't understand that particular discipline. But it is not easy for them to get their body ready for that. And see, the beautiful thing about all of this is that there are some direct correlations with things in Scripture. And one of those direct correlations is with God's righteousness. In Psalm 7, 17, it says, give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. That means He's altogether just and right. And sing praises to His name. We're to do that. That's a reason to give thanks. Another reason to give thanks is the righteous law of God which is given. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight I rise to give thanks for your righteous law. Well, honestly, sometimes I'm not in bed by midnight. So at midnight I still can give praise to Him. But I don't always. But when you do get up in the night, regardless of whether it's an anxiety or a difficulty, whatever has gotten you up, think about the Lord. Think on the Lord and His law and His righteousness and His justice. Turn your focus to Him, and then you can honor Him. For His unfailing love, Psalm 107:8, let us give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. In that unfailing love of God, He turns our upside downs in life right side up. Because that love is always there. It keeps on coming for you and I. We give thanks for that. We give thanks to God. Romans 5:3 and following talks about that, about our suffering and how in our suffering, the suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This reminded me, as I was preparing, of an experience that LaVon had one time. She told me about it, where we had been in a Bible study with a group of followers of Jesus. And she said it felt like God had put a funnel into her heart and was pouring His love into her. And it felt like there was so much coming in that she was just going to burst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God does for us. God does that for us. That's His wonderful love. He has wonderful deeds. He has done wonderful deeds for all of humankind. And we are called in the midst of our daily lives. In Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do you do that in your daily life? Give thanks to God that you can go to work, that you can go to school, that you can learn? Give thanks to God for those things. That's what we're called to do in our daily living. God gives us peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful in whatever you do. God gives us His grace. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow. In answers to prayer, I give thanks to you in Psalm 118:21. For you have answered me. You have become my salvation. That's another thing we give thanks to God for, His salvation. The prophetess Anna was in the temple when Jesus was brought forth for the ritual circumcision. They came into the temple. She'd been there for 48 years, or no, she was 84 years old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after they were married. He died. She spent the rest of her life in the temple, praising and worshiping God. And then God blessed her in that. And she said, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She saw Jesus. She knew that this was the one. Our faith itself. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remember you in our prayers. So our faith, and then our love for others. Our love for others. Friends, I want to tell you that happens here. I see that here at Westview. Love for each other. And love for others through the many programs that we house here in this facility that enables others to know that there is a God who loves them and cares for them. As we close, I want to go back to one of the scriptures we just looked at. Our last scripture, if I can see it here, if I can get it up there, 2 Corinthians 4:15. There we go. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Grace is given so thanksgiving can overflow, so that God can be glorified. And may this Word of God be ever more present in us as we practice the discipline of thanksgiving in our lives and in our church together overflowing, gushing forth into this world to the glory and honor of God. May it be so. Amen. Please bow with me in prayer. Most gracious God, you have blessed us with this nation that we live in. And we know it's far from perfect, and we often do things without first consulting you. We forget that you are moving in our midst and forget to thank you. So right now, we take time to thank you, and we thank you that we have this holiday in which our nation stops to give thanks. Help us as a nation to be on our knees before you, our great Creator and Sustainer. You're the righteous one who never fails. And as we submit to this discipline, may it produce in us exactly what you desire. Let thanksgiving ever flow forth from us, Lord, that others may be drawn to you, that we may be drawn more and more to you, even in our difficult times. Help us remember that you're still God, you're still with us, and that you love us no matter what. That you will use the challenges to mold us and shape us more and more into whom you desire us to be. These things are far beyond our understanding, Lord, but help us, all times and all circumstances, to hold tightly to your hand. May grace and truth flow forth in thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving, as never before, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.